It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
To me, Ernest Hancock. We're doing the show live from Boca Chica, Boca Chica, Boca Chica. I can't say it once. Donna goes, you can't say it once, can you? I go, nope, got to do it. Starbase, where Starship is. Oh, you want me to turn it up? You know what, everything? I just get to be higher? No, just me, I get to be higher. Donna said I can turn it up. Okay, so is that good? All right. Well, we, you know, yeah, damn. I mean, you know, don't need to turn Ernie up no more. So, well, we're here in where Brownsville, Texas, it's where Texas meets Mexico at the Gulf of California, where Starbase is and Starship is being assembled and so on. Now, we're only a couple of miles away. You can see across the water there, but you got to go like 40 miles to drive over to where we were, but it's the closest place where we could park the bus. And it's really nice here, but we were inside all freaking day. I did the drone a little bit to run over and see what's up and take some pictures and so on and come back. But, you know, tomorrow, well, we got to do shows tomorrow, so maybe tomorrow afternoon I'm going to go by because the road goes right by there and take the drone, kind of sneak that in a little bit, take some pictures and, you know, say I did. Now, there may be, you know, some stuff going on while we're here, but I don't care. But it was a good place for us to come and finish up the newspaper. Now, we have... You know, I'll go over the list of authors if we feel like it and so on. Of course, you know, we got an article by Mr. James Corbett, of which, yeah, I read the article. You know, we're going through and placing everything in. And there's a theme from urban to rural, you know, the urban exodus, you know, that kind of mindset, you know, where to raise your family, plant roots, invest your time and money, kind of, you know, what's going on. And as I read the articles, and the perspective that people have on a lot of stuff, it's really had an impact on me. And it's been just this, you know, Donna has been just spending all her time at the computer she has, the Rittenhouse, closing arguments on. You know, she would listen to those, you know, as we were driving and so on, getting down here. And with the articles and the news that's coming out and what's happening and, you know, the revelations on, you know, the COVID scam and all this other stuff, and then there was an article I started writing. I don't know if a lot of the audience may not have saw it. I put it on Freedom's Phoenix because I just started it. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit because it's something I'm sure James will have something to say about. But this is, how many rabbit holes do I want to go down? You know, I mean, it's like it's another deep hole. I start going, I get a little tip, check this, go that, and I start doing because it's an Arizona connection thing. And all of a sudden, what? Oh, it's more bad guys being bad? Yay, you know, let's talk about that. So before we get into all the little details and the news and everything, how are you, James? Give me good news. And, I want to hear about your Renegade University mass media history presentation. So let's start off with that, James, can we?
We can. And, in fact, I'll start off by saying that I'm amped up today, so it should be an energetic conversation. And, in fact, I am wearing my Disobey t-shirt just for you and your audience.
Boom.
So I hope your video viewers will appreciate that, because that is the theme of the moment, isn't it? Disobey your orders from your would-be leaders, because we are heading into hellscape. Having said that, you're right. I was just teaching a mass media course at Renegade University. It is available now. All three lessons are up as streaming videos that you can watch at any time. If people want to get a taste of what that course was about and what it covered, you can go to corporatereport.com slash mass media. And I have the course notes, which is all the references to all the articles and things that I talked about and all the recommended reading, all the different books that I cited in those lectures. And you get a sense, I think, of what this was about. But I know it sounds like it could be eye-wateringly boring. Oh, a history of mass media. Who cares? But once I like to think, and I did get a lot of positive feedback about this because I covered a hell of a lot of information, but I like to think once you really start contemplating it, you realize just how important the mass media is to everything we are experiencing right now. It would not have been possible to launch the scandemic in an era without mass media, and really particularly without the internet version of the online mass media that we have these days. And once you start to think about it,
how long
and start
a class
to
was
read,
this? How long did people, were you able to relay this information? Was it over a period of days or hours? What?
So there were three lessons each Monday night for the first three Mondays in November, U.S. time. And each lesson was about 2 hours, and then there was about half an hour of Q&A after each of them. So ultimately, there's like 8 hours or something up there now, seven and a half hours. So a lot of info. And I'm used to giving podcasts and things like that, so I can talk, but 2 hours of delivering a lecture is a hell of a lot of info. And afterwards, I just felt completely exhausted. But we covered everything from Gutenberg in the 15th century all the way up to the metaverse and what's coming next. And again, when you cast your net that wide and you really look at the development of these technologies and how society and civilization itself has been shaped around these technologies, you start to get a handle on how important this subject is. And the fact that we don't spend any amount of our time thinking about how much of our life we spend in mediated content in front of a screen or even just the printed word, as opposed to all of our ancestors from pre-Gutenberg, who would have lived their entire life, probably never having talked to someone from more than 10 miles away from where they were born. Now we're listening to voices from all around the world every day. We never really stop to think what that means and what that's turning us into, because, of course, where did the course leave off? Where are we going with all of this? Media has always, to this point, functioned as an extension of ourselves out into space, extending our voice, extending our hand, if you want to put it that way, writing, getting it out there to others. But now we've created this mediated universe that we are starting to put ourselves into. Strap on the VR goggles or whatever they end up coming up with and get into the metaverse and put your identity into the media. And once we do that, essentially, bye-bye human species, whatever that was, we are going to become merged with the media technology in a way that makes us something different. And I know people will poo-poo that. Normalcy bias will kick in. Ah, that'll never happen. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, I personally am not going to put on the VR goggles. I'm not going to put myself in it. But I'm not the target audience for this. It's the kids of today who are going to grow up with this technology. And, oh, it's the cool new thing. Oh, you just don't get it, Dad. You're an old fogey, Come on, strap on the goggles. It'll be fun. That's where it's heading. And we all know this. But how much of our time do we spend thinking about this or what we can do about it? And there is no, spoiler alert, there is no easy solution to any of this. You can start the neo-Luddite movement that we're going to reject all this technology and be Amish. And that'll work for some tiny segment of the population, sure. But the vast majority of humanity is going to plug themselves into the matrix at some point if things keep going along in the path that they are.
Even as a kid, I was looking forward to this kind of technology to be able to learn things, to be exposed to things, to do. But that's not how it's going to be used. And sure as hell.
That's the thing, how it's going to be used. But it's not going to be used. It is going to use us. And that was one of the recurring themes throughout the course, was that we like to think media is just this technology that we can use and we like a tool. Oh, we'll just use it for this. We'll use it for that. No. Media technology programs us to be a certain way, to think in certain ways. It shapes the way we see and understand the world itself. And when you read someone like Marshall McLuhan, who was talking about this in the 1960s and the electronic global consciousness that's developing and all of this, he nailed it. This isn't some neutral tool that we decide how to use. it is using us, and we start to shape our entire perception of the world around the technology, so that what is thinkable for literate society is different than for pre-literate society, or what is thinkable in radio-oriented society is different than a print-mediated society, or television, or internet. It changes us each step along the way.
I'm still missing your link to we are it. We're coming into, we're going to be supporting. What do you mean? Define that.
So, okay. So literally, physically, instead of using technology that is outside of us to, again, put our message out there, we are literally going to be putting on whatever kind of VR goggles or whatever it is to put ourselves into a mediated world. I don't know how else to explain that. Have you seen, it's now becoming like the new TikTok viral video thing. You know, oh, look at my grandpa, you know, was in VR for the first time. And then
falling,
they show him like,
stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a boxing thing or whatever. And he ends up punching the wall or, you know, whatever it is. Ha ha ha. How funny. All I can see is, oh, my God, you know, this is where it's going. But that's literally what is happening. Actually, we are going to put ourselves in that. But also, you know, conceptually, what does that mean when we start living our lives in immediate reality?
Yeah, what benefit does it have to they, them, those if we're, you know, plugged in, if we have James Corbett, you know, 3D real life virtual documentaries playing out in front of
them.
I mean, you know,
well, A, I'm not going to be creating material for the metaverse, but B, more importantly, what is possible? What can you present inside the mediated reality that will convince people not to live in that mediated reality? Case in point, television. People have talked for since the dawn of television, oh, it'll be such a great educational tool. It'll communicate. We'll be able to teach people, and then they'll be able to, you know, interact more with the world or whatever. Every single line of study that has been done on television's effects on society and on social capital and on our community organizations and community participation shows the more time you spend in front of the TV, the less time you spend engaging in real world activities, which is actually unique to television, or was until, you know, around the year 2000. If you read Bowling Alone by Robert Putnam, he's a sociologist. He wrote this best-selling book, which is kind of flabbergasting because it is a sociological study. He goes through in academic style, and, you know, this survey, this public opinion poll, this data that was compiled here, and this and this and this, and he shows all the different metrics for how social capital has been utterly destroyed in the United States in the second half of the 20th century. One of the main culprits is television. You can correlate things like movie going with more participation in community organizations, or radio listening. Radio listeners are more likely to donate blood, or all these like weird correlations. But television, every correlation is negative. The more time you spend in front of the TV, the less time you spend engaging with other people. Now, fast forward that to 2021 and think about that in the online universe. What is the online social media participation doing to us?
Yeah,
and then
fast
forward that
to
2050, when we are literally plugging ourselves into the metaverse, which, let's stop calling it the metaverse, it's the Matrix. This is it. We're plugging ourselves into the Matrix and expecting that we'll be able, oh, but you'll be able to do good documentaries in there or something. People will be pods sitting in their room doing nothing in the real world while your real overlords are jetting around laughing at you. That is the vision of the future.
What is the benefit for them having us pod people? I don't see how they just take us off of the playing board, or is it?
Let's put it this way. I think my long term vision of their game plan is the depopulation. Between now and the point where they have the kill switch implanted in us, which obviously is part of the long term injection plans, isn't it? But until the point where they have that refined, where they can basically kill you from a distance and whatever, until they have the perfect thing, this is the greatest way that has ever been invented to completely take out any opposition to their agenda. Your life is going to be a hellhole if you try to leave your house. But as long as you're plugged into your pod, who even cares, right? Whatever, just stay inside,
so
just let us do our thing.
It'll get you thinking the right way, just like television did over the last year of Magia, and then, you know.
Neil Postman had a great part of his book, Amusing Ourselves to Death, where he wrote a chapter in that about Sesame Street and those kinds of educational television. You know, it's going to teach our children how to read and all this. And the point that he makes, which is worth quoting, is that Sesame Street doesn't teach your children to love school. it teaches your children to love television. Everything about it is about getting your kids quiescent and placent and just sitting there in front of a television to learn. So it teaches them that. But it also, what can be taught through the medium of television is limited to things that are visually presentable, visually interesting, that will keep your visual attention going. But what about abstract philosophical concepts? What about things about the value of deliberating and questioning yourself and coming to a that isn't something you televise. You can't do that. You can't learn certain things about the world through television. All you can learn is, you know, hey, here's a dancing girl teaching you how to the ABCs or something. That is the limits of the imagination that are placed in the TV medium. So whatever the metaverse, the Matrix ends up looking like, there will be those limits to what you can actually learn through that medium. And that will be the scope through which we are looking at reality. And we will start to think of reality in terms of the Matrix rather than the other way around.
Did you see the movie Ready Player One?
I did not. I should, but I'm afraid.
It was entertaining. It was okay, but that was, you know, that wasn't the main thing of it. It was exactly what you're talking about. That, you know, society went to crap, and people living in seven-story stacked, you know, single-wide trailers. I mean, Detroit.
Actually, I'll do you one better. Go to corporatereport.com/massmedia. In that course notes list, there is a link to a video called Hyper Reality, and when you get some time, just watch a few minutes of that, and you will see exactly what they want the world of the future
to
look like.
I'm at your site here. Where am I going?
If you add, go to articles. Just click articles, and then scroll down just a few. It'll be maybe the third. Yeah, Mass Media, a History Course Notes. Click on that. And scroll down to Lesson 3. And look at the video called Hyper Reality.
You want me to just click it?
Yeah. Just show the viewers a little bit of what.
You're able to hear that. You know, this is one thing. Let's go ahead and pause this. This is one of the points that they were making in, it was Ready Player One. There was a, you know, the purity of the guy that did it originally for us to be able, blah, 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 blah. And of course, whoever won and got all the keys that were in there, the Easter eggs, then they won. You got to be, you know, CEO of, of freaking farce book or something, right?
Yeah.
Well, the big corporation, this one, had all of these hired people playing it to try and win it so they'd be in charge of it. Yeah. And what they were looking at is they go, look, we could have up to 83.2% of the visual field as ads before they go freaking nuts and have a psychotic break.
Exactly.
You know? They were looking how far they, and that's what this looks like.
Exactly. And if you can, I don't watch it now, but when you get a few minutes, watch the whole thing. And there's the point where it glitches out and you see the real world as compared to the hyper real. And it's just, it's a good way of visualizing, because I genuinely believe this is where it's heading. And I say that advisedly, because about a decade ago, I put out a podcast on You Are Being Gamed, which had a speech. And I can't remember, it was on YouTube under like a headline grabbing title, like the most scariest speech ever given or something like that. And it was all about that in the future, you know, you'll have like scanning barcode tattoos that'll be able to change shape and be advertisements for different things. And you'll get points whenever someone, you know, scans your barcode and gets the advertisement or that kind of thing. It was that speech that this person was giving that at the time I'm like, oh yeah, I see how this is developing. But now we can literally see with visual representations like this what that world looks like, and what that does to us as human beings, how that changes us, is almost incalculable.
This is one thing. Okay, I want to give you my experience over the weekend. We stopped and visited with Roberts and Roberts, you know, our brokerage that we promote on Freeman's Phoenix, and Tim Fry, the owner, he's a good friend, and we just hung out, you know, all day and did meals and so on. And he showed me something that made me think of this. He has a credit card. It's a Visa card that uses, it's linked in with Bitcoin. So I'm going, oh, does it spend Bitcoin? You know, it takes from account or so. He goes, no, it's a regular credit card that you put U.S. dollars on and you spend, but you get to play the Bitcoin game or something like that. And I'm going, the hell are you talking about? And this is how it works. It's a, looks like a black, you know, credit card, has a little chip on it and the bar swipe on the back, and it had the Visa logo. Well, it's called, whatever, it doesn't matter. So you go in and you use it just like you would anything else. But by using it, one, you get like a percent back on the merchant charge. So that's kind of an incentive. But it costs you like $120, $150 a year to get this thing. Well, in a month, he's kind of in discounts and so on. He's got that back, you know, about at least half of it, $70, $80. So, you know, some financial, you know, balancing of it, but they still make money. But this is the deal. Every time you use it, you get a free spin. Every time, every day, you get at least one free spin. And some of the spins, you might get more free spins, okay? So what it does is it pays you and rewards you in Satoshis, which is like nothing. You know, it'd be a few dollars here, $5 there, you know, 40 cents here and so on. So the whole thing, I go, they gamified purchasing. Oh, yeah, man, I use it for everything. I go, well, you know, it's kind of a cool marketing idea and everything. And I go, yeah, but it's a gaming. They're getting you to consume, to spend, to go use it for everything. So, of course, they don't use any other card. They use this because they go to their phone. And he shows me. And he goes, yeah, I just, you know, it goes on to the, I don't know, get notification of something. Look at this. I get a spin. Ooh, I got another free spin. It's like, I don't know, buying lottery tickets, scratch-offs at Circle K or something. So, oh, wait a minute. I'm not hearing you.
Sorry, I muted myself. Sorry. But you're, I mean, this scares me more than the top-down, boots-in-the-face authority tyranny of vaccine passports and that kind of thing.
Because you agree. You totally agree.
This kind of thing is what people are voluntarily doing. They're voluntarily, they are putting themselves in the matrix. It's fun. That scares me more than the outright tyranny.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to extract a 13-year-old out of that.
Exactly. Again, yeah, we are not the target audience for this stuff. It's the next generation.
Oh, it's my
right?
grandkids, man. I'm going, yeah. They got their first smartphone. Two of the older ones, you know, 11 and 10 would share. And I'm going, this sharing thing between, you know, tweenies or whatever, that ain't going to happen for more than a day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, give me that. Yeah. No, it's my precious. I mean, you know, you can see it happen within days. Yeah, I'm going, come on. This is not. So it's parents are good about limiting time and, you know, trying to put some parental controls and all that kind of crap. But, you know, once they get sucked into this and, you know, the metaverse thing, I've done a lot of VR when they first started coming out at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. You know, when we would go covered as journalists, they had all the whiz bang ready. I'm going, yeah, the resolution's pretty low on this, or the latency was a pain in the ass. Once they get that done, and you can't distinguish reality from, why would you go anywhere else, you know? And it's just like, I remember the same thing would happen to me when you're doing a research thing or something, and each home would have an encyclopedia. And you start, looking, and you forgot what the hell it is you were looking for. You're off, you know, scanning different stuff and whatever. Well, it's even worse with the internet. You know, once you start going, you get, God forbid you get a metaverse, you know, and you're just doing AI, you're asking, oh, I want to see this. Oh, and I like that. Ooh, that's some good cleavage. I like that round.
And
the
worst part, the worst part is the encyclopedia doesn't study you and what you're looking at and what you like to pay attention to and then alter itself to present it that way to you. But the internet does, and you better believe the metaverse will. Oh, he likes to spend his time on this. Oh, we'll use the algorithm. Boom. We'll see. Oh, how about if we put this up?
Done.
Right?
Okay, so what was the students, and who were the people that signed up for this that wanted to get a media download from James Corbett? You know, that'd be interesting.
Good question. I remarked a few times during the lesson, like, I'm just glad there was 80-plus people in the course that had signed up to listen to me deliver lengthy lectures on the history of
Was it $1 billion or something? What?
No, it was, I think I, the, for the Corbett Report members, you get a discount. So it was $100 for the whole course. If you weren't a member, it's 130 or whatever.
Okay. So it wasn't free, but you know, these people wanted this information from James.
Yeah. In fact, there was even a guy from Europe and he was watching live and at, it was like 3 a.m. for him. And he listened to a 2.5-hour lecture and then stayed around for the Q&A afterwards. Yeah.
So what kind of people are they?
There are
younger,
people who are
older,
interested.
Professionals, media consultants?
Mix. Absolutely a mixture.
What
I
were
had,
they hoping to get out of it? And what do you think they
young
got
people,
out of it?
So the feedback that I've gotten is, I've heard it was the best online course I ever took. I heard other people say, I've never taken an online course before, but I really enjoyed it. There was, people, it was a bit interactive as well, because for example, someone in the second lesson during the Q&A said, hey, have you read Bowling Alone? And I said, no. And he said, oh, you should read that. So I read it and we talked about it in lesson three. So, I don't know. It was for me, just for me, my own sake, I can't speak for the students, but for my own sake, putting it all together and laying it out and showing the development of it and then talking about what's coming next was a good way for me to put all of this in perspective. Because, of course, I know all the individual parts, but when you lay it out like that, it really strikes you.
Is this a new medium for you? You're going to do this again? You want to make a regular thing? You ready to create a thing?
Not anytime soon. Not anytime soon. It was a hell of a lot of work. An unbelievable amount of work in reading and everything.
Well, when does it not work for you to do a documentary or something?
Well,
I mean,
let's
did you
put
more into this than you did one of your documentaries?
I'd say it was roughly something like that. Yeah. But with a documentary, I can get it out there to, well, usually before I could a million people, now tens of thousands of people,
yeah.
Whatever.
No,
anyway,
that was
a lot of
something
people.
I wanted to bring up. I mean, I got, you know, the screen, you know, I can pull up, but I'll just tell you. Remember me talking about how Alexa rankings they do on search engine optimization, they play with it and so on. All of a sudden, we have gone, you know, way up. I mean, it was just, we're doing really well. And what happened was you had the lower, you know, it's a 3-month, you know, window. And we had low back here, and we're, you know, shot up, and we're going well. All of a sudden, those dropped off. Boom! We go to, like, I don't know, we're getting into, you know, James Corbett territory. We're, like, you know, 160,000, you know, whatever. Wow. And you're, like, 85,000 because you're James Corbett. But anyway, so the lower the number, the better. You get to be, like, number one.
Oh, right.
So, so we get to, like, 160,000. I mean, we just lopped off hundreds of thousands. We're just, man, rock and roll. So it's usually an average. It go up, and they'll hit it down. A second that happened, boom, boom. They're down to 600,000 for the day, you know, or something. They're just, and I go, yeah. I want to see what they did to James. So I put your site in. Same thing, same time frame, you know.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah.
This is recent. Did you say
today?
Today, okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you look at the. Well, here I'll show you for the audience. They want to see this graph. And it's just, you know, I don't give a crap because I don't give a crap. But the it's interesting to keep track of this stuff, you know, and kind of watch. And this is what, no, this is the article I wanted to talk about. So if you look at us, you know, the site ranks today 614,000, you know, on whatever. Our average, you know, where our ranking is 166,000. But, you know, as soon as we... You know, these started to drop off, you know, down here over here, all of a sudden, bam. So then I go, let's go see what happened to James. You know, the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going, why? Because they can, you know? And it wouldn't mean that
well,
much.
Look, I haven't been posting a lot for the last couple weeks, so that might have something to do with it. But, yeah, it seems interesting.
Would, yeah. You know, I thought of that, too. And it wouldn't mean that much if it wasn't for... You know, I've watched this steadily every day. It's just one of my hot links when I go do my news. And I look at it for, you know, I don't know, 3.2 seconds. You know, I don't give a crap. But it's been like this every time. It's just so freaking what they do. You know, I just it's just a pain in the ass. So then this story here I wanted to talk about before we ran out of time. And Donna, did you put this in the archives? Did you put this in the archive, the witty thing? All right, this is what happened. And I just want to, you know, give you, you know, I give, you know, why I was doing this and oh my God and my spidey senses and whatever. What I was looking for is who would benefit from all of this metaverse and the vaccines and, you know, the setting us up for something of whatever. Well, of course, it's going to be the social credit score people, and you start doing some look, and there was a link in Arizona that, you know, sparked it because United Health Group is, you know, doing their thing. Well, I come across this guy, Sir Andrew Philip Witte. Now, what was interesting is how and why he became a sir. He became a sir because of, you know, honors for services to the economy and the United Kingdom pharmaceutical industry. That's how you get knighted, is be a good guy for the pharmaceutical industry. So he's CEO of GlaxoSmithKline. He's former chancellor of University of Nottingham, economic advisor to the governor of Guangzhou, China. I don't know where the hell that came from. But while he was CEO at GlaxoSmithKline, he was, you know, in charge and behind $3 billion settlement, you know, with the government for the largest healthcare fraud case in the U.S., okay? This was them bribing doctors to take, you know, prescriptions and doing whatever. Then he, at the, when become United Health Group, which is, you know, the parent company for United Health thing in Arizona, which kind of, you know, what started me down this road, is he's CEO of Optum. Now, Optum is a medical software thing that does all this stuff. So then I started doing some, and then also he was, you know, COVID-19 pandemic appointed expert advisor group, the United Kingdom Government Vaccine Task Force have appointed the Pandemic Preparedness Partnership and, you know, the WHO, blah, 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 blah. I mean, bad guy, okay? So then I started going, you know, what are some of the other things that was going on here? And I came across that, you know, his political ties and he's buddies with and appointed to whatever, so of course. But it was this. Ezekiel Emanuel, Rahm Emanuel's brother, is kind of working with them and the Obama administration during Obamacare and so on. And the whole point was this Optum group wanted to be the ones to be the social credit score, health, COVID-19 tracking, tracing crap. Okay. So then as I looked at it, I'm going, I mean, it's just, it was a continuous line between, you know, a sir knighted for pharmaceutical making UK money guy that goes into GlaxoSmithKline Pharmaceuticals, a big giant fraud, a scumbag, $3 billion fines and whatever. Then he goes in United Health Group with a subsidiary, you know, that he's CEO of a software company that's there to track everybody. And I'm going, oh, who better than you have to do that, you know? So it's just the point that I was making when I wrote the article. I just started scratching, you know, doing the James thing, man. I just started scratching the surface, getting some stuff. Within an hour, I'm going, holy crap. You know, this is, I go, do I want to go down this hole? You know, I think I'll decline. You know, I just don't want to.
I think people have started going down that hole. And I know Andrew Witte. I know that name rings a bell. So I'm trying to think.
God, I hope so.
What report, what was it that I was reading about that? But when we're talking about medical health surveillance, I know, for example, Whitney Webb was writing about this in some of her coverage, I think late last year, early this year, talking about some of the contracts that were being given out and some of the ideas for, what were they calling it? Not biosurveillance, but there was like a pharmacovigilance, I think was the term they were using, which they were talking about before the injections got their emergency use authorization and everything. They were already talking about creating the different databases and systems, how they're going to track who has been injected and what's happened to them and all of this. And they were doing this under the term pharmacovigilance. So you might want to look that up. But
No, I don't. I really freaking don't. That's my point.
Fair enough. You know, but you can post some articles about it if you want.
Well, this is what happened. Well, send them to me. You know, you can do that. But what I started to see is I saw the same thing before. Is a Michael Chertoff, you know, head of the Homeland Security. Okay, and what does he do? He leaves and represents Rapiscan. Yep. You know these. Of course, all the airports and everybody's got to have these scanning devices that he got paid for. I mean, he's got a little something for, you know, the home team. And I'm just going, they're doing for surveillance of people and using healthcare database and all this kind of, you know, everything. And they're doing it just like the TSA. You're going in the transportation, you know, security administration, whatever, because I remember what really, it, man, all this just pissed me off last few days. What happened was, in Arizona, they created the light rail system, you know, a little train thing that they had. And they had a grand opening. It was a big scam to begin with anyway. So you go on, big grand opening. People are on right, and we were there, you know, passing out flyers and holding signs and, you know, being libertarian activists. And they had TSA guys on the platforms. All the trains there, TSA, we're here, TSA. Yep. You know, wearing our jerseys or whatever the hell they were doing, you know, the opening of the light rails. I'm like, whoa, we got airport, and now I got TSA at freaking local public transportation in Phoenix? Oh, hell no. So we made a big deal out of that, and they kind of backed off. Yeah. But, you know, they claim jurisdiction, so what are they doing? Amtrak, Greyhounds, yeah, I mean, this is not over. And now they want to do it at the crosswalk, going into the coffee shop.
This is
their plan.
This
and
is
I'm
it,
going,
yeah.
How are they going to do it? Transportation of you freaking walking. That's what they're doing. So this is exactly what's happening, social credit score and things in China. Who's doing it? How are they doing it? Boom, this. And it was, you got Rahm Emanuel's brother being a lobbyist, you know, doing the White House, former yada, yada, yada. He's going with Obamacare. They're laying this out, Hillary Care, whatever the hell they wanted to do. And this is the mechanism by which they're going to track. They don't even need you to walk through a scanner. They got your scanner that you're voluntarily carrying on your hip. This is the intent, and this is the mecha. That's all I wanted to see. I was looking, I'm going, who's doing? How are they benefiting? Man, it didn't take me an hour. And I just go, you know, I've you know, beat up a bunch of windmills, man. I'm done.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, at a certain point, it's like just cataloging these people and what they're doing. But what's the bigger picture?
Bigger.
And if you want to contextualize it, where is the power? How does the power function? Where
it's
is
us.
It coming from? Ian Davis has been doing some good work on global public private partnerships, GPPP, which is essentially the model for this, how this is all working. It's not governments. It's not even UN or something. It's these GPPPs that amalgamate everything. It's GlaxoSmithKline working with the Center for American Progress, working with the White House, working with the UN, working with the WHO, whatever. They all are working together to implement the bigger agenda. And you're exactly right. This is the bigger agenda. And they're just changing whatever fig leaf of pretense of, oh, it's for this. It's for terrorism. Oh, it's for health. Whatever they say, who cares? That's not the point. But health is a good leverage point for all of this. And if you want to see exactly how that works, I did COVID-911 last year on the 9/11 anniversary in 2020, where I was talking about the switchover from Homeland Security to biosecurity and what that looks like. And I had a clip in there of the CEO of Clear Health Pass, I believe they're calling themselves, something like that. It's one of these new things that at that time in late 2020 were basically petitioning to be, hey, we're going to be the guys that'll provide the software and everything for you to scan in when you get to the stadium or whatever it is, blah, 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 right? And in that interview, the CEO is talking about, yeah, we were there. We started in the wake of 9/11 providing airport security and clearance processes. And now we're going to transition that into the stadiums and other public outdoor events and dot, 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 and supermarkets and groceries.
It is
and,
not
know,
in the line to get into a federal jurisdiction of security to go fly on a plane anymore. They're taking that little cattle chute that you're going in, and they're putting the entrance to it at your freaking front door of your own house. That's what's happening. And as I started to realize this, I'm going, I got to get out. I mean, what's the solution? You know, you'll freaking shoot them, bomb them, and then you get this, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse trial thing. Donna's been spending a lot of time listening to that, and I watch Closing Argument. I'm going, what a freaking joke, because you could see what was happening all that summer. They wanted the cities to burn. They needed the flames. They didn't want to stop anything. They're setting us up. But the good thing is that what's really coming out of this newspaper that we're doing, because I went to all the authors, you know, big names. I mean, you know, a lot of people, well, you know, Ron Paul didn't have time, so he's doing an ad, but I'd really like to, but of course we'll put you know, some links of videos and so on. Let's see. Got, of course, James Corbett's going to be great. Brittany Schaefer's doing a thing on, you know, homeschooling and so on and resources for that, which is Butler Schaefer's daughter. That's interesting. David Rodriguez doing a thing on education also. Karen Kratowski is doing stuff. Dave Hodges. Joel Skousen wanted us to put it. He just writes so long. We're going to have to, you know, do links or cut down to something. But, you know, same kind of stuff. Alessandro Fusillo from Italy. He's doing a big libertarian think tank thing. And you may have met him. Well, he's a speaker at Anarchapoco, and he's been a guest on the show. He's has a big law firm, and he has offices in Berlin, Madrid, and Rome. And he's all about, you know, big money guys in Europe and keeping their money, you know, in the European Union. So he's been seeing this stuff happen in Europe. And he's like, oh my, and he's becoming a rock star. You know, he's like the libertarian guy in Europe. So that's going to be interesting. Dr. Alan Palmer on all the studies on COVID. There's no studies. You go, the hell there's not. But like 1,500. You know, this is, you know, then Ben Soprenowitz, you know, John Bush and Derek and them, they're going to be promoting, you know, a lot of what they're doing on intentional living and so on. Dara Venetian, you know, Arizona Dara. Patrick Wood, Technocracy.news, he's going to have something. Farm Match, you know, the guys there we've had on the show a great deal of how to use software to be able to find your food, you know, and kind of, you know, Black Market Fridays thing that we're doing. Also, Mike Swatek has a submission. He's actually started his Dome Home, and he's going to be, you know, updating, making sure we're all ready for Black Market Friday. So we got to, you know, get ready for that. And then, and Richard Grove has the stuff, Dr. Judy Mikovits, of course. Now, we're getting an app from Regeneration Nation, you know, Christy Harper that you sent to us, and the mycelium guy on the soil reclamation guy. Those were interesting interviews, thank you. You know, Doug Hodges is going to be doing a crypto thing. Jacob Hornberger from Future Freedom Foundation. Stephen Lemon's going to do something, and we have some others. But so awesome. It's going to be packed full. And the point was...
Okay, wait. Stop. Before we go any further, I want to share this with my audience on Solutions Watch because I want to talk about this. Pretend like you're talking to someone who has no idea who Ernest Hancock is or what you do. Put yourself front and center in the screen and tell us your previous experience doing this in the past and why you're deciding to do it again right now.
Okay, let's go ahead and pull, you know, this up.
Yeah.
I'll just pull up a newspaper here. I don't know if the internet or things work. Nah, it doesn't matter. I'll just do it. All right. Now you're seeing me on the screen here. You got that?
We're seeing both of us. Yeah.
All right. FreedomsPhoenix.com has always been about telling people how things really are. You know, this has been something that has been such a difficult process for a lot of freedom-oriented liberty community activists is that, look, man, this thing is broke. No, it's not. I still get my, you know, milk at the store and I can whatever. Well, you could see what was coming. Well, in the process, during the 90s and periodically through the 2000s and so on, we have done newspapers. Because a lot of times when you get it in front of you and you have these articles, you can pass it around. You keep it as reference. It just has, you know, more gravitas or impact. And certainly for people that don't like to spend the rest of their life on freaking internet all the time. But what we did in the last few editions we've done over the years is that we've taken the printed newsprint format, tabloid newspapers, and we have QR codes that represent hyperlinks. It goes to all the display ads. It goes to all of the references in the articles of things that you write about. It is a very effective tool in giving a certain perspective. Now, the one that we're doing now is we've been planning this for months, and we just kind of been slow burn, getting ready, getting everybody all minds right, and so on. And, of course, James Corbett's going to have, you know, a big presence in there. Now, and we can talk about what he's writing about if you want. But the point is that there's a theme. And this theme, I'm going to all the writers, I'm going, I am of the opinion that Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner tables, extended family members coming in, somebody knows somebody or somebody sitting at the table that, yeah, I'm getting out of the urban areas. I'm going more rural. I'm going to take my kids out of the mandatory youth indoctrination camps. I'm going to get into more healthy living. I'm going to, because you'll spend your whole life trying to get to that point. You could just do it now. And with what's going on in the government school systems and the healthcare industry and the cost, you're much better off investing in eating raw vegetables or something. So that's what this was about. I go to everyone and I said, look, I want the focus to be on the escape, the urban escape. Where are we going? Why? With whom? In what way? And what resources are available? Which is a lot of things. You know, we have different communications things that are available. You can be as high tech as you want. You know, you can have access to all kinds of different services and things, and oftentimes they're a lot better because a lot of the people that are providing these services in the medical industry, in the tech industry, in manufacturing, jobs, growing food, health, they're like, we're out here, man. You guys want to let the cities rot, man. You know, let the, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse, what the hell do you don't need to do that anymore. Just, you know, go camping. I mean, you know, we're going to go over here and do. So that is what this newspaper is about. It's going to be primarily distributed in Air Freaking Zona, because that's where I live, because that's, you know, get over it, all right? Well, we also have in Eastern Washington, we have friends that want a bunch, in Missouri and Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, there's a lot of people, well, I want a, you know, a few thousand, and I want some, and I want some. So it's going to be distributed in the hard copy. Now, of course, it's going to be online, because the whole thing is interactive with the internet anyway, which is, right, if you go to FreemansPhoenix.com and I'll go ahead and do this. You guys look on the screen. You know, let me do this and do share. If you go to FreemansPhoenix.com, you'll see up here is newspaper. And if this is working, you click on it. You go to the newspaper, and it's interactive. The whole thing is there in a PDF, and you can share the file and all that. So we're not just doing this in print. We're doing this as a mechanism for activists to be able to share their mindset, to interact with other people on it. It's an internet thing with a physical copy. Now, we've been doing physical newspapers since the early 90s. A lot of people think, you know, that's all passe, Ernie. Oh, you're just so dumb. You don't know what you're doing. Well, what do you think this Love Bus Liberty Tour has been all about? We've been going around the country doing thousands of signs. And I can't tell you how many people and how many times I got to pose for selfies with people with their tattoo of the Lovolution and so on because they saw a sign. It's where you bypass the censorship. There's always censorship. There's always preference. These guys don't know what they're talking about, poo-poo and whatever, until you are inspired to find out that you are not alone. And that's what we're doing. And promoting off-ramps, promoting solutions, promoting, you know, what's coming next. And that is what I wanted to talk. Yeah, I was looking forward to talking to James about. Yeah.
Awesome. I'm 1,000% on board with that and with your energy and what you're doing. And I think one of the coolest things about the newspaper that you're doing is that you, if I understand correctly, you have the templates up so anyone can start making their own newspaper.
We have money making, you know, newspapers around the country. The biggest one is probably in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. They go, well, how do we do that? I go, boom, there's a template. You just take out our stuff, put yours in, repeat, change, you know, it's all done for you. You just need somebody who knows how to do InDesign or, you know, we did the work because that's the biggest hurdle for people. Well, how do I set it up? You know, copy and paste. I mean, I've been doing it since it was actually copy and paste. I mean, you know, cut and paste. You actually add scissors and glue and crap, you know, to put these up, you know, and they photo them. So as long as you have the template, because then it used to be paper. You know, you would actually, you know, print it out at a laser printer and you'd cut and paste and do kinds of funky stuff. Well, now it's a software, but they, oh, how wide do I make it? And how, what's the format? And how do I, it's all done. You just put the text in, Word documents, ads, take them down to the, you know, the newspaper maker people. And they just, boom. Because all these newspapers you see, they're not running 24/7. They make a bunch of their money printing other people's newspapers. You go in and say, I got a newspaper, and they go, we love you long time. Come in here, and, you know, it costs this much. And it's really not that much. I mean, it keeps changing, you know. It used to be butt cheap, but, you know, I don't know what it is. Now I don't care, you know. We're going to do this because it needs to be done. And I know the impact it's going to have. My whole goal is this. When we get done with the Love Bus Liberty Tour, we go back to Arizona, we're starting buildings of homes. Well, how many permits and you can and can't in some place? Like Missouri, I was talking to a guy today. In Missouri, they don't have any building permits. You just go, it's your land, peace out. You can do whatever hell you want. You know, you go in the rural areas, you can do whatever hell you want. So I'm going, and why is that? It's for control. It's what you can and can't do. It's so that some contractors, you know, the subdivision developing whatever, they get to make all the money, and you're not allowed. So I'm going, this is some basic fundamental freedom thing. I mean, it's up there with Second Amendment stuff. I get to have my own freaking property and build my damn house, and you can suck it, you know? Well, what's going to happen is they're going to give me crap. Oh, piss off Ernie, that's a good idea. So what we're going to do, we go to Arizona as we do this. This is just building, because that's why it's going to rule Arizona and rule Washington State and rule, you know, America, you know, is that, look, we understand this is what is coming. They're going to ratchet it down. They're putting their, you know, cattle chute, you know, what do you call those things at the airport or banks? You know, they got those little, you know, barriers that you go.
Yeah,
cattle,
I know what you mean.
You know, whatever the hell they are.
Yeah, that'll shoot, true.
You know, we did like a quick little video. We were having fun one time when they first started the TSA thing, We Won't Fly stuff. And it had people, you see people facing this way, and then people facing that way. And then all of a sudden, they all went down out of frame. And they came back up, and they're, you know, in a little bit different place. Then they went down, and they came back up, and they went down, and they came back up. What the hell is going on? It was when they go down to pick up their suitcases, so they go another step and then put them down again. You know? I'm going, it's so freaking like that. And it's like that going out of your house. Yep. You know, this is, I am so, and now,
you know, what people James have been got? Making
you
this
have to
point.
Go out of your house. You're in a freaking cattle chute, you know, exactly on Metaverse.
Right. No, people have been making this point for a couple decades now. TSA was prisoner training for society.
Yes.
And here it is.
I saw it happen. Yep. When we were traveling around, I was doing a lot of traveling in 07, 08 for the Levolution and so on. And I tell this story often. I just saw this one young couple in their early 20s with two little kids, I don't know, you know, 4 to 2 around in there. Oh, and you take your shoes off of the nice man as he's wanding them and feeling them up and doing it. And then you get, I'm going, what the hell? You know, they grow up never knowing what I knew. You just went to the gate and saw your people off, and when they came back, I'm very not pleased. I don't like it. You know, so that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Let me express myself here real quick. After I did the Sir Andrew Witty thing, going, oh God, another bad guy. You know, that's, you know, they, them, those, doing they, them, those stuff. And what am I going to find out? I start, you know, scratching this, and I start following. I know what I'm going to find out. More bad guys being bad with a systemic badness goal with a freaking budget and billions of dollars of they're going to make me and I have to, and they're going to, you know, get whatever, not for me, you know. So I'm going, I really need to be convinced.
That's it. You know, so important to point that out, because I always, you know, I always hear from people, oh, just give me the names. What's the name? Who's doing this? Why don't you name names? Okay, here's a name. Andrew Witty. There you go. That's a name.
Go find him.
What are you
going to
do with that? What does that mean? What do you, okay, let's say somehow you can arrest Andrew Witty or whatever, get him out of the picture. Do you think that changes the agenda? It does not change the agenda one dot.
And they
not
got
at all.
A bunch of people just like him waiting in line for their turn.
Exactly.
It's a philosophy.
We have to confront this at the ideological level, at the base of what is going on.
So this is what I'm talking about. I'm of the opinion that I don't know how, but I've made the decision that's going to change. Freedom's Phoenix, you know, maybe the formatting, or maybe, you know, what we cover or focus on or whatever. When we first started it, I did a great effort to not make it about me. I didn't have Freedom. I didn't have a Declare Your Independence radio show. Wasn't even on there. You know, it was down like, well, you got to put it on. Okay, well, I'll put it down here so people can find it. Well, then it wasn't until recently that I put it at the top up there. And I'm like, all right, fine, because everybody was, you know, they knew anyway. So what the hell, made it easier on them. So I was not, it was not about me. It was about the philosophy and the promotion of freedom's rebirth from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. And there's some ashes coming. So I'm just going, this is what the whole point was, to get them to be prepared and to understand, you know, doing the James Corbett thing. Well, then, you know, the Levolution hit, and that, you know, we shot up doing, you know, a lot of stuff there and so on. So now I'm out of the mindset that, ooh, I just got the masthead from one of the graphic artists. We'll look at that. So what I did is I said, you know, I need to do, because I'm always at least 5 years ahead, you know, and, you know, kind of see it coming, what happens. I'm sure you know what I mean with you. So I'm going, all right, I am of the opinion that it's going to be a mass exodus from urban to rural, and that there needs to be a greasing of the skids, of all right, of, you know, this is not that hard, you know, pull it out, or inspiration by just doing it, just like we do the Levolution, just like we did Spaceship One, Government Zero, just like we do with the Love Bus Liberty Tour, just like we do with Decentralization with Pirates, you know, Without Borders. I mean, anything that we do has been to help facilitate this, and I call it quantum reality. And I go to the audience and I say, watch this. You want to see, you know, all of a sudden, freaking everybody's driving a Tesla? I mean, you know, all of a sudden you just start seeing stuff everywhere? Well, everybody's talking about it now. It's because somebody started it, and it just kind of permeates throughout culture. Well, here it comes again, okay? I want everybody to be ready. Here it comes. And I am going to do everything I can for the massive flight from urban, let them freaking rot, you know, and we're going to go be healthy, wise, happy, left aloneism, going out and promoting that. And that's what this newspaper is, the beginning of a whole new series of Ernie being a pain in the ass because they pissed me off. Because I want to just, oh, I wanted to be left alone. Oh, you don't want to leave me alone? All right. You want to rock? Let's rock. Okay? Then James will help. So
there's only one thing, Ernie. If I could give you just one piece of advice. You're going to have to bring some passion to this. Come on. It's a bit flat there.
You know what I had to do? I went to Dr. Tamburi because when we do the Trump report, I get like, he just, you know, pissed me off. So he's going, how's your blood pressure? So I got a blood pressure thing. Whoa, I'm going to die, man. 160 over 120 kind of crap, right? After we do the show. So he gave me some herbal whatever the hell. So it's been down. I'm, you know, 120, 70 kind of, you know, I'm not going to die. You know, I'm like, okay, that was good. You know, I need some more marijuana or something. You know, but I'm satisfied. You know, I've been slow burn for a while since you and I, for years, we've been, you know, talking and doing these shows. And, you know, you can see the progression that we're going this way anyway. But, man, when I did this Andrew Witte thing, and because it has local, you know, ramifications in Arizona, I'm going back to, and it's companies, and you're 100 people, and you have to back, and then you don't, and you do, and the stay, and the courts, and that. I don't care. I'm not waiting on no judge to tell me whatever. I'm done. I do not want to be in the city. We have been driving. I haven't had to have, in this whole trip, I've had to deal with rush hour traffic in this bus, I don't know, 5 times. You know, we just don't go through the big cities, you know, and sure as hell not during rush hour. So it's just, I'm just, and I am looking forward, you know, and hopefully, I know you're kind of with me, you know, on this, but, you know, there may be some focus on, I'm going to have to do a lot of study, and I've done some, but it's on, you know, where building codes come from, and how it's always United Nations International crap. I mean, when we were young activists, oh, the United Nations, John Birch, United Nations. Well, they were right. They're always right on all this stuff. And I'm just so sick of it. So now I'm, and what I got to fight with my grandkids is what? They're going to be in the metaverse? I mean, what's your solution for that? What kind of, I don't know what the hell to do.
I'll let you know as soon as I have my 3-step plan or whatever it is. I don't know how to fight
program to get off
technological things like that. We'll see. But in the meantime, we have to do what we can to educate people about freedom. And on that note, I got to get back to the rest of my work that I'm doing at the moment. But before you hang up, after we go offline, let's chat a little. I have
something to talk about. Hey. Thanks, man. You know, let me vent. I was looking forward to, I don't want to take up a bunch of time, so I want to get all your stuff, because I knew I was going to freaking go ape on this. It's just been the last couple of days. You know, I was looking forward to talking to you. I'm at Boca Chica. I got a starship over there. I'm going to take some pictures and get the drone out. Woo-hoo! We're almost done with the program. We're going to be back in Arizona for Thanksgiving with our family. We're going, man, it's awesome. We're ending it. Donna's cool. We got to go down to the Keys and did a bunch of activism and a bunch of signs down there, and they got one highway. So that makes that easy. So we've had a great trip, a great success. The bus is holding up well. It's just, I feel a lot of freedom here and so on, but it's just beginning. and I have to get away from them and show others that they can get away from them. Because the only solution to this is to get away from them. Urban Escape. We're going to try and help. Hayes, CorbettReport.com.